Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hello, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be with everyone.
Wonderful. I'm so glad everybody is joining us today. We're going to wrap up this month on adaptability. We've spent 4 weeks thus far. This is week five. Talking about adaptability, change is inevitable. That's what we seem to come back to on every show this month, is that we really will constantly be adapting, and that's because every moment is ever new. So today on this show, we're going to talk about ways in which we can strengthen our ability to adapt. Dorothy, how about a quote? Did you bring one with you today?
Yes, this one's from Buckminster Fuller. He writes, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." So, ever onward.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, Steve, part of what can help us with, you know, coming to grips with the need to continuously adapt is to just reiterate for our listeners the shifts that that many of us need to make from the way in which we were taught the world is put together to recognizing what is actually true about the world and what we've learned, particularly through quantum physics. And there's three of these shifts that I'd like to mention. One is, we tend to think of or talk about our universe as though it's static. You know, we look out, you know, there's the mountains, there's the trees, there's the whatever. But in fact, it is dynamic, and there's movement, there's change on an energy level and on other levels all of the time. That's what keeps life going. If you think about a pool of water with no new water coming in or no way to flow out, it gets very stagnant very quickly. So that's not what our universe is. It's a dynamic system. And the second thing is that we, because of our history with Newtonian physics, we tend to talk about our universe and our life in terms of cause and effect. But that's not actually the way it operates. It operates from a probabilistic perspective. So there may be one effect that we think always happens because the probability of it is quite high, but it's never the only possible option. There always are many possible outcomes. And then the third is, and I'll speak here from my psychology training, we've tended to emphasize that people, as they mature, part of maturation is becoming independent. And we say negative things about things like being codependent. But the reality of our world is that we are interdependent. None of us is separate from anybody else, any other entities. Everything that we do has an effect on those around us. We talk about energy follows thought. So even our thoughts affect our surroundings and the people around us. So all three of those shifts involve flexibility, emphasizing flexibility, which is a big part of adapting.
Yeah, beautiful. And you see that we do need to shift our perspective. You know, we're taught when we're young, this is the way the world is. Study it, learn it, and there it is. But we're not often taught that that the universe is actually expanding, which means it will always be changing, and sometimes rather dramatically, right? I mean, we're not necessarily Absolutely. Taught to expect that. Even with the quote you mentioned from Buckminster Fuller about fighting, you know, the existing reality, it made me think of that quote about insanity. You know, insanity is coming at a problem the same way again and again and expecting a different outcome. Just
right.
this idea that it's always changing, you know, the world is ever new. And I wonder if we were living in a universe that was actually contracting instead of expanding. I think in terms of if we really zoomed out and looked at the life of our universe as if it is breath, you know, coming and going, inhale, exhale, contracting and expanding. I wonder what it would look like if we were in a contracting environment, but we're not. We're actually, the universe is expanding. So as we learn to adapt to the new, which is we're really in the flow of the universe, you know, which is a universal trait.
Right. And one of the important aspects to me of this is we can see this using climate change as an example. We know from scientists that our behaviors are having an impact on the Earth and its ability to adapt to what it is that we're doing. We're really pushing the boundaries on that. And one of the ways that we see the Earth responding is in terms of weather.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, we're getting hurricanes that are stronger and more frequent. And instead of saying, treating them as though they're unusual and will never happen again, I think it's time for us to adapt to this is our new reality, and we need to find ways of coping appropriately with this while on side by side we work at changing the human behavior that is precipitating these very difficult weather conditions.
Well, it's aligned with that quote of insanity, which is that we cannot continue to live in the way we are living. And so, again, you know, we talk about shifting perspective. It requires perspective first and foremost, that ability to observe and be aware that there are changes happening and a change is at hand. And actually, we need to adapt so that, you know, we still have a stage upon which this human life can play out, and we can't go at it again. And we are actually insane in that we continue our actions in the same way, and we expect it not to change. We expect it to either go away or just continue to conform back to the way it was. But it's not going to be so. I have to say, you know, that hurricane that you know so tragically hit Florida. No one saw that coming. You know, I have family in Myrtle Beach, and we tracked that the first hurricane that was several weeks ago, day in and day out. And, you know, I don't think anybody's ever seen something just come rise up and hit so hard. And it does seem to be, we say it again and again, that this is a new now. We certainly have to adapt and ask ourselves, well, what are the ways I can adapt? You know, how can I actually adapt my day-to-day life, my day-to-day existence? What does that mean to me? You know, there's many different ways.
Right. Well, and so to me, that means, you know, there's another level of shifting our perspective, and that is how we understand relationships, who we care about. We can talk about, you know, our circle of care. Do we care only about the people that we know intimately and that we love? Do we care about the people that they love? Do we care about people that we've never met? You know, how far does that circle of care go? One of the things that is life-affirming to me is how much people reach out in times of tragedy to help strangers that they know. But that's actually the kind of outreach that we need all the time, instead of just precipitated by a major crisis.
Well, and does my circle of care actually expand to be even caring about the environment, caring about the Mother Earth? You know, what am I willing to give up, you know, to sacrifice? And that word sacrifice, I love that word. You know, so many people see it as giving up, but it's actually to make sacred. What sacred action? What action can I make sacred in my life so that it can be for the benefit of a greater circle of care? You know, do I just care about my convenience, or do I actually care about, you know, the lineage of children, and what will the earth look like for as this window gets smaller and smaller of really impacting the way we live? You know, can I make sacrifices, and where does my circle of care extend to, just beyond even people, to the environment, the planet? Yeah,
absolutely. We talk about unto seven generations, but if the UN report is correct, we have until 2030. That's not seven generations. That's our generation, right?
Isn't that amazing? Because it used to be, you know, I remember the dates were way, I mean, it was 200 years, and then it went to 70, right, down to 30, which means, gee, they could be saying in the next 5 years soon, you know. So really talk about shifting our perspective, you know, and talk about dynamic. There is nothing static about the world around us today. We see that in every possible way. Yeah.
Well, and you were, excuse me, Steve, you were talking about the impact, you know, on species other than humans. And, you know, the whole idea that every space in our world, if we look out at our world, every inch is occupied by a living entity. If we really absorb that, whatever we do is having an impact on someone or something. We put turbines in the water because we're going to harness water energy. And what are we doing to marine life that depends on sound, you know, and sonar impulses to be able to survive and thrive? We put up the air turbines to capture that energy. And if we don't think carefully about it, we place them right in the migratory paths of various birds. We have got to recognize that we are not the only ones here. Yeah. We're not the only ones affected by our actions.
So shifting our perspective often means expanding the breadth of our awareness, really, learning, educating yourself. I think, Dorothy, we've said it every show. We might as well just say it again. The Earth has wiped life off of its surface as we know it 5 times already, and it could do it again, right?
Absolutely.
It knows how to adapt quite well, so we could look to her for some wonderful skills in strengthening our ability to adapt. Dorothy, we're already at our first break, so listeners, we'll be right back and continue the conversation after these words.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Are you looking to grow spiritually, expand your consciousness, increase psychic abilities? Well, there's a free app for that. Pure Light offers audios that transmit high spiritual frequencies to help you awaken to your full potential. Hundreds of audios created by some of the world's top energy healers, and many are free. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Be willing to make a change for the good. If you want to know what your thoughts were like in the past, look at your body today. If you want to know what your body will be like in the future, look at your thoughts today. This was Deepak Chopra who said that. And it's true. But it's never, ever too late to make a change. And many things can be reversed. If you put your mind into it and make an effort, now you can make the change and tomorrow you will feel much better. Start now and look forward. Past is the past. There's no future in it. But in the now, you can find the future for tomorrow. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at SwissHypnotherapy.com.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Dorothy and I always like to take a moment to talk about our organizations. Spirit Fire Radio is a collaboration. I was going to say, Dorothy, a co-creatorship. Is that even a word?
I don't know, but it sounds great.
Sounds really lovely. Anyway, Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies came together to bring you Spirit Fire Radio, and we're so happy that that happened. Dorothy, a few words about the School for Esoteric Studies, perhaps?
Yes, the School for Esoteric Studies, which I represent, is an educational nonprofit that provides training to persons with a spiritual practice that they would like to deepen. And you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. We have a number of initiatives, group initiatives that we also run. And one of the initiatives that we started a couple years ago was to reach out to like-minded organizations to work collaboratively. And Spirit Fire Radio is one of those collaborations with Spirit Fire, and we're absolutely delighted to have that. We are again at esotericstudies.net.
Wonderful. And, you know, just to mention that we're going to talk a bit about collaboration in the form of cooperation. Cooperation,
yes,
in the form of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Next month, we're at the end of the month, and November is going to be dedicated to cooperation, something that just feels so good, as does Spirit Fire Radio. And it's, again, just like adapting. It's a process when any two entities come together. It's really wonderful that getting to know each other and seeing what you can create together is such a lovely process. So a lot of adaptation mm-hmm. takes place in such a positive and creative way. Spirit Fire is also an educational nonprofit, and our mission is to educate people on the importance of spirituality and ways to bring that into their everyday lives. We do that mainly through our meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness. That's an online practice. It is free and constantly new meditations. It's a 14-step program that we present and a new set of meditations delivered to you every week. can find out more about that at spiritfire.com and just look at our meditation tab. We've also got online classes that are consciousness-based and a meditation retreat center in Western Massachusetts where we hold a variety of retreats and many based on that practice, the practice of living awareness. So Dorothy, speaking of meditation, I just thought it'd be fun for a moment because anytime I think about adapting, I think of that phrase, go with the flow. You know, someone who's really good at adapting is really constantly going with the flow. And it made me think of, it's a particular step in the practice of living awareness. It's called flow. We spend an entire week just meditating on flow. There's so much that the breath can teach us and teach us about adaptability just by really observing the breath and the ways in which your body is constantly adapting to each new cycle of breath. You know, if we held our breath, we would pass out, certainly, because you can't hold your breath to death. You know, your body will knock you out and you'll resume breathing because flow is built in. It will force you to adapt to flow. We're sustained by flow. It's all around us. You know, we see it in the seasons. It's gorgeous right here in New England as leaves are changing and everything is adapting. We adapt to the cold weather. So just taking a look around you, I find just by noticing, just by becoming aware of your environment and observing, there's so many lessons to ways to adapt. Another step of the practice is soften, open, and release just by watching the trees doing what they know how to do innately, which is release the leaves because it would take too much energy actually to hold on to them. And they're not built for the cold weather. All the energy is going back into the root system. So it's a time to go inward, you know, as we find ourselves doing that ourselves naturally. So I think, Dorothy, that we adapt in so many ways that we might not even acknowledge or be aware of. So even something as simple as just watching the breath constantly adapting to the new can be just a way of becoming aware of our own innate skills for adaptation.
Absolutely, Steve. I need to give you, I would like to give you a contrary example, however.
Sure.
Because it is true, we are constructed so that we will naturally take in breath and we will give it out. And yet, as we become more conscious of our breathing and more aware of it, and we enter a different type of cycle, that can shift. I just wanted to share a near-death experience that I had. I don't remember if I've shared this with our listeners before, but I got some food poisoning, I guess is what it was, and I was in a lot of pain. I was experiencing symptoms. I thought maybe I was having a stroke, and I called a friend of mine who was a physician, and she came over. And by the time she got there, I had passed out. I was lying down, and I stopped breathing. And she told me later that she was certain, because of what you've described, Steve, that I would start breathing again. But in fact, what had happened was I wasn't unconscious, but my consciousness had left my body. I remember this very clearly. I was up in the corner of the room watching my body, watching her. She was slapping my face, telling me to breathe, breathe, breathe. And a voice came and said, "It is not your time. You have to go back." And I remember hearing that. I remember experiencing the fact that I did have a choice as to whether I continued to live or not, and then suddenly being in my body and taking a breath. But there was that moment when I could have chosen not to. It was a very interesting experience. It has left me being not fearful of death, but aware that I was making a conscious choice to come back and to breathe.
Well, and also very interesting in that story, it illustrates that we are still in constant flow. You know, talk about dynamic as opposed to seeing the world as static, which is I'm having an allergic reaction, I've stopped breathing, I'm dead. You know, there was really this dynamic, expansive experience, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That there was even flow in something we would assume is the end. You know, fascinating.
That's right.
Yeah. Possible to willfully hold your breath. Like just say, right now I'm going to hold my breath and I will die.
Yeah.
You know, you got to use a rope. No, that's awful to say.
No, but, we don't want to say any of that. No. But it. Yeah. But life is a series of choices. And, you know, and to get back to, you know, how we strengthen our ability or increase our ability to adapt, for anybody who has traveled a lot, you've probably had the experience that the meal that you feel least likely to adapt to is breakfast. It's interesting because, you know, we go out for dinner to restaurants from different country type foods. We may experiment at lunchtime. We very seldom experiment at breakfast beyond the repertoire within our own culture. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think if that's been the case for me.
Yeah. So
because it's rote, like we wake up and we fall into the same habits.
Well, and there are things that are eaten in other cultures at breakfast that are very, very, very different from what we would eat.
I see.
Yeah. And it's interesting. There's a hotel I used to stay at in Singapore, and they actually had a breakfast buffet that was set up, and it was labeled. They had Northern European. They had North American. They had Japanese, they had Chinese, they had, and the foods were very, very different in terms of what was provided. But they had recognized that there is at the start of the day, people often want a certain stability in terms of what they're doing. Isn't that interesting?
It is very interesting. I have to say, I've adapted very well to the Quebecois peanut butter on your toast instead of, you know, cow's butter.
Yeah.
But I remember the first time going to Quebec and having peanut butter for breakfast, and I thought, no, that just goes with jelly. You don't have peanut butter with anything else but jelly for lunch, a sandwich, and now I have it all the time. We're at our first break. Listeners, we'll continue our conversation on adaptability as soon as we return.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We're going to continue our conversation on strengthening our ability to adapt. Dorothy, do you want to start off this segment?
Sure. There are a couple of things that to me are really critical in terms of strategies that we can use. One of them, you know, we've talked about, you know, practicing what-if scenarios, but another one is to consciously search out role models who adapt frequently and successfully. Watch them, learn from them, and see that as a positive. Similarly, to recognize, and we can do this also through watching role models, but recognizing compromise as a strength. It's all too often, especially nowadays, people seem to think that holding your ground, you know, it's my way or the highway, that's the signal of strength, and that if you compromise, that somehow you're weak. And yet, if we think again about the fact that all of us have very different life experiences, and what we want is a common good, something that works for all of us, then compromise is a critical part of that adaptation process. Again, knowing where we want to compromise and where, from a values perspective, that doesn't really work. But that, to me also, Steve, is a really critical component.
Well, that also reminds me of this idea of having to fix problems. I see that similar to compromise as strength. Compromise in the sense of allowing, you know, mm-hmm. in really being cooperative. And part of being cooperative is actually listening to another or allowing a situation to really play out as it is intended to in certain situations. You know, there's so much written these days in psychology and certainly in self-help and in spirituality about listening. And so often when someone comes to us with a problem, or we right away just, I don't know if because we're all so caffeinated, but we just want to jump on it right away. You know, we want to fix it. We want to show our strength and we want to put ourselves in the middle of it. And there can be so much learned to adapting by sitting back and allowing, you know, by mm-hmm. actually just taking time to listen. We do an exercise here in some of our meditation retreats where we spend 5 minutes and we let somebody just talk without needing to respond. 5 full minutes of just talking. We set it up in a very deliberate, structured way. And people have such a really profound experience by just sitting and listening to someone. And on the other hand, which is to just speak knowing that somebody's not expecting anything from you. So this right. idea of, in a way, compromising your need to respond.
Well, and you know that I find that it's very interesting in my my close relationships. If something comes up that's challenging for me, that's going to require action or change, for me, the first step is talking it out. And if somebody jumps in and tries to solve the problem, it actually doesn't work for me at all. But if they will listen, as you were saying, and let me talk, I come to the solution. And that's what works well for me, not what they impose. And whereas they think they're being helpful by trying to solve it for me.
And don't you find, though, that that is a very cooperative experience? It's not that they're doing nothing. They're actually holding space. They're creating the ground for the solution to arise. And there's so much to adaptation that has to do with observing and awareness. So, you know, that whole scenario right there can teach us so much about adapting in both, you know, for even your instance, for you and the person who is allowing you to talk it through.
Yeah. Well, and there's a book, if people are not familiar with it, it's an older book now, by Nell Morton called The Journey is Home. And what she writes about is hearing each other into existence.
Yeah.
That process of listening, of hearing somebody else's experience is one of the greatest gifts that we can give. And that's the process through which they come to what it is they need to be and need to be doing.
And that requires discernment, though, Dorothy. You know, we've mentioned that several times. There's two. I think we mention this all the time. You know, it's this idea of discerning. And discerning, you know, there's also this idea of, we talked about in the last show, the moral filter. You know, both of those which require awareness and the ability to observe and really know deep down ethically what is the right thing, but also just in terms of something as simple as somebody having a problem and creating space and allowing, it really takes discernment. And that is a key to adaptation. You know, when and how do I adapt to this? It is really something, you know, it's a skill set.
Mm-hmm. It is. And part of that skill set, I just want to add, needs to be taking care of ourselves. Because we can really harm ourselves by adapting in a way that adapts to others, but takes us out of integrity.
Yeah.
Right. So we need to remain centered. We need to remain clear with our value structure as we are adapting to what's going on around us.
Yes, know thyself, right? Know thyself.
Absolutely.
We talked a bit about the mind and its defaults. And I just wanted to mention, it does seem to be built into our biology, Dorothy, you know, that our mind seems to want to predict a scenario. You know, it really wants to look for common denominators. And we had mentioned on one show a while back about this visual of the mind and its thoughts as a sled that keeps going down a snowy hill, and that each time it goes down that hill, and that going down the hill is thinking a thought, that it gets in a groove and it creates a groove in the snow, and that really anytime we start to think a thought a certain way, our sled tends to want to go back in the groove, because it's just really the way our mind is built. And we can fall into these patterns, as you say, you know, reminding ourselves to care for ourselves. Sometimes we can just fall in a rut where we're always there for others and it becomes our default mode. So it really, you know, sometimes we have to force ourselves to adapt by looking at something in a different way and by really trying a different action. My partner Tim says that all the time. If I'm confused about something or I ask him, you know, what do you think about this? He says, well, what would you do? And I say it, and he says, well, do the opposite. I say, what? And he says, just do the opposite and see, you know, allow that to show you a completely different scenario or result. You know, the scenario will then lead to different results, and then see how you deal with it. And it's a little bit scary, but it always works, you know, because I will find my way eventually, but I'll learn something new in the process. It's that sort of getting yourself out of your patterns.
Well, and this whole issue of caring for yourself as you are adapting to what's going on around you, I would think would be a critical in running a retreat center.
Oh my goodness. And I, Dorothy, speaking of which, yeah, you know, I do that with my partner. You know, we work together. Talk about relationships. We are together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's kind of insane. But we're both very versatile. I'd love it. You know, we didn't really have time to bring up signs, you know, astrology, but it's quite interesting. I'm a Virgo and he's a Gemini, and both of those are mutable signs. So adaptability is really is a signature of the mutable signs, you know, Sagittarius and Pisces also. But it's interesting that we always wear so many hats at this center. You know, there's always something happening. And the two of us, he's very linear and I'm very circuitous. So between the two of us and both of us being mutable signs, we can handle just about anything. But very interestingly, there was a fire here at the, like an actual fire at the retreat center. We were in the kitchen and one of the presenters came running in and said, "Get a fire extinguisher, there's a fire." And I have a very deep fear of fire. I don't know what it is, but I think anybody would be, but it really hits me hard. And Tim and I were together and I said, "Tim, grab the fire extinguisher." And we both ran in. I had these visions of like the whole ceiling up in flames. It wasn't so bad. They'd built a mandala out of candles and the fume sort of created this mini explosion. And Tool, don't ever put Tool around 3,500 candles, but the whole thing went up in flames and we put it out, all was well. But I bring this up because the next day, Dorothy, I was down for the count. I could hardly lift my arms. I could hardly walk. I couldn't think. And I thought, what happened to me? And here, I think it was the adrenaline. I hadn't experienced that much adrenaline in my body. And my body had to adapt to that odd chemical, that rush that had us really adapting to the situation. And, you know, we're so adaptable and good at what we do. We had the whole center cleaned up and then back in their program in an hour. They couldn't believe it.
Wow.
From what it looked like then to what it looked like when they went back in. But interesting how our body is required, you know, all the time to adapt even internally to new environments. This environment of this chemical of adrenaline just knocked me out. I wasn't good for a day. So the body's even always doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about caring for ourselves. You know, there was a really good instance where I had so much work to do and I had to say, "Well, Steve, your body is telling you, you really need to just rest and allow balance, you know, back
in." Right. That's right.
Yeah. So listen to your body. Mm. And it's wisdom. Dorothy, I've just talked us right to the break. I'm good at that.
Okay.
We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back after these words.
How powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Tune in to People Like Us Radio with Megan Lyons, transcending the trauma of the human experience. Megan will be raising the universal consciousness by empowering listeners with their own inner strength, working past trauma and abuse. Megan will show you how to find true healing and inner peace through the art and practice of self-love. Tune in every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. For more information about Megan and her work, visit enterthelightllc.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, Navigating Through Life's Transitions with Shelley Ryan, the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Welcome back, listeners. We are going to wrap up this show and wrap up the entire month. It's been a full month of October, right, Dorothy? Adaptability.
Absolutely.
It's been really, really intriguing. Anything come to mind straight away that like really, hits it home, so to speak?
Well, I think I would say two things. One is, adaptability doesn't mean that you try to do everything at once, or even just too many things at once.
Yeah.
It's a process, right? It's not an outcome of numeric quantity. And then the other, almost on the other side, is being adaptable does not mean conforming to what other people say you should do when your own moral compass tells you that that's not appropriate.
Hear, hear.
So we need to be adaptable, but that doesn't mean that we always change with the wind in whatever direction.
Yeah. Yeah, that we're being forced to adapt. You know, that, oh, look at this scenario. Here's a good opportunity for me to adapt if it feels really wrong, or you know deep down ethically that this situation is not one that one would want to adapt to. That would be called conforming, right? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And in terms of trying to do too many things, we've talked about this before, I think not for a while, Steve, but the whole concept of multitasking and the fact that actually what science shows us is that we're not doing things at the same time. We're doing things sequentially, but very, very rapidly. We're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And what it does is it interferes with our ability to perceive the whole, and so our future recall isn't as clear as it could be. And it creates a certain kind of distraction. We talk about the distracted driver in accidents from distracted driving actually being higher than those from drivers being impaired by alcohol.
Yeah.
And it can take us out of the moment so that we don't actually enjoy the moment as it is.
Well, I'd love to just add a few thoughts to that because it's so important what you're saying, because someone might think I'm multitasking, I'm being adaptable, right, Dorothy?
Mm-hmm, but exactly.
What you're saying is no, you're actually not being adaptable. You're just moving from one thing to the next. And actually, science has shown that what's happening is when you're doing that, what's called the default mode network of your brain is taking over. And actually, that's a very limiting, very subjective part of the brain. It keeps everything in reference to you. You know, how am I reacting to this? What is my response to this? And it is a very like quid pro quo response. This equals that. That equals this. This equals that. This comes next. And as you can even feel with even the tone of my voice when I say that, there's very little breadth to that. And so we might think that we're actually adapting, but we're reducing the scope of our experience or the breadth of our experience to such a narrow breadth that actually we're not adapting at all, because there's nothing for us to adapt to. Our experience becomes very rote. And so this idea of practicing time where we're actually not doing anything in that way of multitasking, but either concentrating on one thing, or I would say meditate, because they're both the same thing. You know, fully engaging and being present in one task actually shows you so much, actually allows for the experience of adaptation, because you're exposed to that which you might not have normally noticed. You're actually exposed to so many new things by focusing and concentrating on one experience. Or in meditation, it's interesting, they're very much the same thing. Both sort of suppress that default mode network and open us up to a really broad experience, which is which means we get to adapt more.
Well, and I think another thing that helps us is to spend time with people with whom we share the same values. Now, I don't mean that we should limit ourselves in that way, because we want to understand people who are coming from different perspectives, but we also need to be grounded, you know, and feel reinforced in the moral compass that we are developing and nurturing. And so I think that that's really important. I know if I spend all of my time with people who are who hold values very different from mine, after a while I start feeling just a little nutty, and I need to feel more grounded with someone who understands where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I would say that having fun with change and adaptability, just having trying your best to be a glass half full. You know, we've talked about hope and seeing. You know, it's that idea of having fun with this experience of something being new. You know, We fear change. It can be a natural thing, and some of us more than others. But just this idea of working toward noticing the usually not noticed. I mean, taking that, you know, as a sort of a little bit of a, you know, this is going to be my goal for the day, is notice these a few new things or a few new ways of doing things or a few new responses, and really watch and observe yourself adapting to them and doing it with some grace, you know, with keeping flow intact and keeping that sense of alignment that you're talking about that helps so much when you're with people with other values. You know, be with the similar so that when you go out into the unfamiliar, you've got that ground, and like a tree in the wind, you know, you can move and sway with it. You're more flexible.
Yeah, I really like that, and particularly the noticing what's usually not noticed, because that's part of what it refines your perception, and it also is one of the ways of engaging with the world that will help you see multiple alternatives, which is part of being adaptable, right?
Yeah.
Is noticing the small nuances, noticing the difference that it makes in people's lives. All of that is part of what will help us in maintaining our balance and our ability to be adaptable.
And there's a beautiful sort of happenstance from noticing the usually not noticed and doing it with a sense of optimism, is eventually you sort of take refuge in this idea that we are in fact all interconnected, that wisdom naturally arises, you know, that we are interdependent, that life is dynamic. That naturally arises as a truth that you experience when you really take the time to try something new with a sense of optimism and a sense of positivity, and in noticing something so simple as noticing the not usually not noticed. It's also that idea of small things being big things. You know, mm-hmm. it's noticing mm-hmm. the minutiae.
Small is beautiful. Small is beautiful.
I know. It certainly is. You know, here, my partner's quite tall, and, you know, he will often say, his name is Tim with a T. He'll say, and Steve, of course, with an S, which is short. Mm-hmm. So he'll say tall Tim and short Steve. So, and I always say just beautiful. Great things come in small packages. So Dorothy, we're really at the end of the show. I did want to mention that quote that says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. So acceptance of things I cannot change really is being adaptable, right? Accepting it has got that energy to it. And the courage to change the things I can. There's courage again. We mentioned that on the last show. And the wisdom to know the difference. You know, I love that quote and think that that's quite a nice mantra for adaptability.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And a nice segue into what we're going to be talking about next month, which is cooperation.
Yeah. Do you have a few words about cooperation before we take...
Well, I think what we can alert our audience to is we are going to be talking about how cooperation is the primary dynamic in the universe, not competition.
Yes.
Competition being at the center is a myth, and we're going to explode that myth and talk about cooperation instead.
I wonder if it's going to get quite heated sometimes, right? I mean, we see divisiveness so much, and we see competitiveness so much in the world today. So it's going to be a really interesting month, the month of November. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. So listeners, I hope that you'll join us. Listen to our archives by checking us out on Transformation Talk Radio or at spiritfireradio.com. Dorothy, it's been a great month. Thank you so much for your presence and your wisdom, as always.
It's been my pleasure, Steve, and all the best to our listeners, and join you next month.
All right. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.